Okay, so I'm sure many or most of you know that there is a prohibition of eating on Yom Kippur. Right? The Torah says, "V'nisim es nafsh osechem." There is a prohibition of eating. It's one of the five inuyim on Yom Kippur. Eating the amount of a koseves, which is a little less than a kibetza, is one would be chayiv karis for that. Though we paskin chatzi shir asur min haTorah, so really any amount, even eating in shirim, even eating any amount would indeed be an iser d'oraisa, would not be subject to kares. But all things being equal, there is a iser of eating on Yom Kippur. So, however, there are cases where one would be allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. The Mishnah, the Gemara says, in source one, chol machilin oso al pi bikiyin. So you would feed someone who's sick at the recommendation of the bikiyim, the doctors. Amar v'yane chol amar tzarich v'rofe omer eino tzarich. The doctor, the chola, the person says, "I need." The doctor says, "They don't need." So you listen to the chola. You listen to chola because leiv yodei amar es nafsho. That we consider that a person knows themselves. So if a person knows they don't have a pre-existing condition, but they're feeling faint, they're feeling in whatever way they feel that they're in a certain danger. So they may eat. It also goes in the opposite direction that if the doctors say that they're supposed to eat, but a person insists that they don't need to, so you would listen to the doctors, even if a majority of doctors say one thing and one says another. So basically, it seems like if anyone has said that there's a need to eat, so one would be allowed to eat. So in general, when there's a prohibition that's lifted, except for the three cardinal sins, all of the prohibitions in the Torah are not Yaharek v'Yavor. One certainly would not have to give their lives for it, but in general, when a prohibition is lifted, usually it fits into two categories. So one is hutra and one is dechuya. So hutra basically means that when the situation arises, when there's a justification for violating a certain prohibition, so it's as if the prohibition doesn't exist. So there's some discussion with Pikuach Nefesh and Shabbos. So is it that there is a situation of Pikuach Nefesh, and therefore it's as if Shabbos doesn't exist? I don't have to worry about minimizing the amount of malacha I do. It actually is an interesting ramification whether, let's say, someone doesn't have food that, or doesn't have hot food to eat on Shabbos. So is it better to give them nevela or something like that, which is not a chi of karis, which is less of a iser in of itself, or if it's hutra, if it's completely allowed, so maybe just cook up a black kosher chicken soup. So with Yom Kippur, we generally assume that it fits into the other category of dechuya, that when there's grounds to violate the prohibition of eating on Yom Kippur, one should minimize the eating to a minimal amount. So, in source two, the Mishnah Berurah says that if someone is, if this is in the context of a pregnant woman or a woman who gave birth, and it's after the 3 days where we assume that it is a Pikuach Nefesh situation, that if someone doesn't have a situation that's objectively Pikuach Nefesh, but they say that they're not feeling well, that they feel like they're in a certain danger, so what we should do is try to see if a little amount, if a small amount will solve the problem. So you have to, there's a sauce or something like that, so you have them taste a little bit, and if they're satisfied with that, if they don't feel concerned after that, so then that would be, we would stop there, and they would continue the fast. We would not stop the fast. And then if they need any more, so it says we should, they should be fed pachos mikashir, which you've established is a deraisa, but one would not be eating the amount of a kosevis, bekdei achilas pras, in a normal time of eating. So for Yom Kippur, we're generally stringent, and we assume about 9 minutes. Sometimes the different shiurim for Day Achilas Pras are a chumra in one direction and cool in other directions. And on Pesach, let's say it's 2 minutes in the shortest amount. So in Yom Kippur, that would be a kula. But on Pesach, if someone wants to gulp down their matzah in 2 minutes, they'll actually get to matzah soon. So that would be a stringency. So, but generally, we would try to be strict for the opinion of the longest amount of Bikdei Achilas Pras. And that way, one wouldn't be violating the Isser Kares in the amount of time that one would normally. That's considered a normal time frame of eating. But at this point, we've established that there's an issue of eating, but in certain situations, one can eat. And when one can eat, we try to minimize the violation, but Shulchan Aruch says that if pachos mikashir isn't going to do it, so then they should be fed until they feel comfortable and feel that it's no longer a danger. So what about medicine? So is medicine better than food? Not better than food? Equal? So there are actually a couple of factors to consider. So number one, this is in source three, is regardless of whether medicine is food or not, or what status it has, as far as that, there is an Isser Darabanan to take medicine on Shabbos and Yotiv. Why is there an Isser Darabanan to take medicine on Shabbos? So,
it's refuah.
It's refuah.
Comes from that.
So you might get the tree bark. We're scared you're going to
Shchicha samimanim, that you're going to grind things up and violate the malacha of tochit. So, for minor ailments, there exists an Isser Darabanan of taking medicine. So, presumably, if someone just had a little bit of discomfort, so food would certainly be out of the question, and medicine would be out of the question for different reasons. Food because of Yom Kippur, and medicine because of the Yom Kippur is subject to the same rules as Shabbos, so because of that Isser Darabanan. Now, to define the parameters of that Isser Darabanan, so it really only applies when someone is in the category of mechush ba'alma, of general discomfort. And these things are somewhat difficult to define, the different gradations, but generally if someone is able to function, they're just walking around, they have a little bit of a headache, they're a little bit congested. So for that, and even contemporary poskim assume that there would be, even though we don't generally grind up our own medications, certainly probably not legal medications, but that we assume that if someone is having just minor discomfort, even though we don't grind up our own medicine, this Isser Darabanan still exists, and one would not be allowed to take medicine for that. However, if someone if there's more significant discomfort, certainly if there's any kind of danger to health, but if someone is mutta l'mishka, if someone otherwise they would feel like they'd have to stay in bed or they wouldn't be able to go around functioning normally, so then this prohibition of taking medicine would be lifted. However, this greater amount of discomfort when someone would have to stay in bed or something similar, so that would not justify eating on Yom Kippur. So perhaps we would allow medicine in that case, just in general, with regards to the prohibition of medicine, but that's not gonna allow us to have any type of food. So we have to determine, and it's gonna be real good, well, when we continue, we'll have to determine what status medicine has in relation to food. Another point about the prohibition of medicine on Shabbos is if something is otherwise michael brim, if something is otherwise a food that healthy people would eat, so then let's say someone has a sore throat, which maybe a little bit of a sore throat is just a little bit of discomfort, but if chicken soup, Jewish penicillin does it for you, so even though you're doing it, even though maybe you don't even like chicken soup, but you're doing it because you want to help your sore throat, or you're having tea, or something like that, so that would be allowed. as far as Refuah and Shabbos, but as far as Yom Kippur, it kind of works in opposite directions. More similar to a food on Shabbos is better as far as refuah for minor discomfort. More like a food on Yom Kippur is going to be the opposite problem. So we'll see if they converge somewhere. So basically, one would not be allowed to eat unless they're in a if there's a risk of more significant danger, and if there's minor discomfort for the reason of refuah on Shabbos, one would not be allowed to take medication. So in general, what's the status of medication as far as food? Do we need to say the right food? It goes in your mouth, you swallow it. So why might it be considered food? Why might it not be considered food?
Well, it depends if there's a flavor to it. I think that's a factor.
Flavor, because yeah, certainly.
Also, like, how big it is, swallow the consumption of it.
So you touched on swallowing. So swallowing is an interesting point, and that's actually what the following source deals with. Is swallowing considered eating? What do you think?
I guess it depends on the food.
It depends on what it is.
What if it's something that you don't generally swallow, such as perhaps matzah? If I swallow matzah, take it all in one gulp, have I fulfilled the mitzvah of achilas matzah? The mitzvah of achilas matzah is not consumption of matzah, it's achilas matzah, it's eating matzah. So have I fulfilled the mitzvah?
Probably a machlokas.
If it's okay with gedaka. If it's the way, I would assume you have to eat it the way people normally would eat matzah.
Right, and people normally eat matzah by chewing it. However, Marim Sachim says that someone who swallows matzah is yotze. And what bracha do we make on matzah? Al achilas matzah. So it seems from this that swallowing is considered achila. Then we're dealing with a different issue than Yom Kippur, but it does seem that swallowing is no better as far as a prohibition, or no worse, as far as the mitzvah of achilas matzah, than chewing it. So it seems as far as taking pills, the idea that we're just swallowing and not chewing it may not help us out so much.
Well, matzah might be different, though.
Why would matzah be different?
Because the inyan by matzah might not be like what we're talking about by Yom Kippur, where it's literally eating matzah. There's a message to the consumption of matzah, and there's a reason behind the mitzvah, I think.
So that would more lend itself to the fact that swallowing would work?
Yeah, just the ingestion, I guess, of matzah. As opposed to, like, the chewing, the te'ima, or the...
And it could be, because there's a distinction by Maror. However, the bracha we make on matzah is al achilas matzah, not just al consumption of matzah. That if you had, let's say, I don't know, an IV or something like that, that it seems like there is a certain, whether that the mitzvah is essentially to eat it. And it sounds like swallowing, at least for the purpose of the, fulfilling the mitzvah of achilas matzah, is enough of a normal, apparently is enough of a normal way of eating that it would fulfill the mitzvah. So perhaps swallowing, if we're considering reasons to be lenient about taking pills, so swallowing... May not help us out so much. And the Rashbam says is commentary on Pesachim. He says Sharei Achil Nabol Sharei Achila Sharei Achilahi, that swallowing is considered achila. So it sounds like whatever we could have deduced from the Gemara itself, the Rashbam certainly doesn't seem to help us out. So if just swallowing is considered achila, true, we've only seen it in the context of matzah and fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah, but it seems from what we know, and apparently swallowing is has the status of eating. Is it the other?
Well, because he says the chatchila, you're part of the that you taste the matzah. That's what he says also.
You're right. So bdiavad.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that the eating, that swallowing is a bdiavad form of eating. I mean that swallowing.
As far as the tam matzah, that's a good. It could be that matzah, there's an advantage to tasting the tam. So it sounds like it could be achila plus. The swallowing is achila, and the plus is that you're also supposed to taste the tam.
Like that swallowing is like a bidiyavid form of eating.
Of achila, it's perhaps right. It sounds like that. That as far as the achila part, the swallowing is achila. At least at a minimal level, right? But perhaps the tam. Maybe it's a better way of achila, or it's part of achila. But it doesn't seem like just the fact that we don't taste the tam is going to remove it from the category of achila. So another thing that was mentioned. So it sounds like as far as the scoreboard is now, that swallowing isn't gonna help us out so much. But another point that was mentioned is the taste. Like, presumably, I'm not sure they've ever chewed on a tablet, but the fact they're not chewable, you have the chewable ones or the syrups, which I don't know if they really taste so good, but at least they have, I don't know, cherry flavor or something like that. But they don't add any positive flavor to pills. So if one were to chew a pill, it would taste bad. So what might... the question of whether it tastes good or tastes bad impact on the issue of eating.
I mean, does food have to taste good for it to be called food? Like, I don't know, if you eat something really disgusting, is that called eating?
So that's a good question. It actually is bearing on many issues in halacha, actually particularly in kashrus, as we'll see. So we also have a Gemara in Pesachim, source, let me first the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which says, it's okay to call nevela, you shouldn't eat nevela, legera sher bisharecha. So you should give it, instead, nevela is not aser b'hana, you're not allowed to eat it. So what you should do, you should give it to the ger toshav, or it says you should sell it to a non-Jew, and they're allowed to benefit from it. But so what does it say? So she'ein ruy leger eino kruya nevela. So something that's not, you have the prohibition of nevela, but the prohibition of nevela only applies to those things that are roy for a ger to eat, or roy for someone to eat. Just from the fact that if something is not suitable for a non-Jew to eat, so maybe it's not nevela. We say nevela is a food that's not allowed for Jews to eat, but suitable for someone else to eat, which is why you may give it to someone else or sell it to someone else. And the following source in Pesachim says Amar Rava Korku Kodim Zmano, that if chametz is charred before the zman, at least on a simple level, of being able to own chametz until half the day, mutter behana. So even over Pesach, it's chametz is generally aser behana. But if it's charred and basically made inedible before the zman iser achilas chametz, mutter b'hana afilu l'achar zmano. It's mutter b'hana even during Pesach. As an application of this, the Tachronim speaks about what if there's like a pen made out of chametz or ink made out of chametz. So there could be practical applications that, at least as we see here, that's something that it's apparently also just perhaps similar to the fact that it's not considered nevela. It may not be considered chametz if it's made into a state where it's not edible. So that's the assumption. And if you look closely, what does the Gemara say? It says that it's mutter behana. Doesn't say anything about achila. Mutter behana. That's at least what we know from a simple reading of the Gemara. So, what about achila? So the Ran says he goes on. He's seemingly following the halachos by Nevela, that he says that filo b'achila nami shari. That's not just hana. It's not just that you can use it for whatever other purposes you would use char and chametz for on Pesach. Dafilo b'achila nami shari. It's also permitted to eat it. She'ein derech achila b'lechem charech. That the charred bread is not considered something that's derech achila, that's normal to eat. And it says nachad lishne de mutter b'hanaso. The Gemara uses the language that it's mutter b'hana, meaning dafilo achile lav achila hi ela b'mishane mine. That even if someone puts it in their mouth, so it's not considered eating. So hana would include hana to use it for whatever other purposes I'm using it for, and apparently be considered, according to the Ran, that if I happen to put it in my mouth for whatever reason and swallow it, so that's not eating it, that's hana. And the Gemara permits hana. So it's like if something is made to a point where it's not edible, where it doesn't taste good, so it's removed from the prohibition of Nevela, and seemingly also removed from the prohibition of chametz. Any questions?
That seems subjective.
Oh, okay. Most of you can read at least the Rush's mind. So source number 9. So the Rush says, and this is a famous machlokas. The Rush says, that's all true, but if I choose to eat it, if I put it in my mouth and eat it, so then for me, we don't consider it pagum. We don't consider it removed from this category of food. And just as an aside, with kashrus, this is very relevant to no Saint Tam Lefgam, that in many shilas in kashrus, that's really... No Saint Tam Lefgam really saves us. In general, if something is clean and not used in 24 hours, so we assume that it's pagum. Many times, trials with sinks are mikkel, because soap. In general, when things, if there's a reason to say that there's a negative taste in there, so that could, it's very relevant to kashrus, but also applies to other areas. But the Rush, however, says, and this is what later sources term akshave, he says that if I personally, that it's objectively, moral people don't eat charred chametz, but if I, for whatever reason, I like it and I choose to eat it, so for me it's chashuv, and there would still be an isur derabanan. True, it's not a deraisa, but it would still be an isur derabanan if I choose to eat it. So that's one factor, but it seems like what if is the fact that I choose to eat to consume medication, is that, do we think that might fit into the category, this category of akshave?
I don't think so.
Why not?
This is talking about like whether you would want to eat it or not. Like refuah is not based on that same desire to, like, you're not eating it for that purpose of eating it. Does that make sense?
That you're
like,
doing it for...
You're doing it for another purpose.
That if we assume that eating is...
That everybody would want if they were in your position. Perhaps it's more objective.
Right. Perhaps you could say, and some do suggest, that eating... is generally we eat to be satiated. There's some sort of function that eating has. We eat because we're hungry, and food satiates us. So perhaps it could be different because we're not taking medicine for to satiate us. So perhaps perhaps it also may not be entirely clear. So on source 10, Gemara in Yuma says, "Achal oklan she'ena ruy lachila." If someone eats food that's not fit for eating, or drinks liquids that aren't fit for drinking, pater. So originally, pater aval aser, that one would not be it would not be an iser deraisa, but there are still seemingly there would still be some iser derabanan if one eats something that's not fit for consumption.
What are these things? Sir omaris?
It's like brine or wormwood, stuff that generally one would not.
How can you, okay? Because you said achal ochlin she'ena ruin achila, like ochlin meaning like that can't be referring to food though. That has to be referring to something that's not edible, right?
Right, or maybe it's using the term food, just something that one would consume. Or even, because I guess even like the charred chametz, it's food item. It's just something that's in a state where it doesn't have a positive taste. It doesn't have a positive effect. Mm-hmm. So true here, it doesn't talk about satiation or other types of benefit, but it seems that there is at least some iser on consuming things that even if they're not roi lachila. The Rambam similarly says, and this is in, right now we see many sources in Pesachim are dealing with Kashrus. The Rambam actually in the Hilchos Shvisos Asor, that in the Halachos of Yom Kippur, source 11, Achol Ochlim She'ena Ruy L'Maichel Adam, there's also grass, things that are bitter, all these other, the brine, Pater Min HaKareis Aval Machin Oso Machis Mardus. There will still be an Issur Derabanan of eating things or consuming things that are not fit for human consumption. So at this point, where do we think we're standing with pills?
Or maybe even they're not Rawi Lachila, so it's not.
Right. So, and just going back to the beginning, where he talks about the different gradations of health issues. So, if there's a real danger, then you can even have food. The question we're going to come to is all things being equal, because we say Yom Kippur is the Huya. So maybe if pills are in some way less of a food item, then maybe in that case it's even better if they accomplish the same thing. That it would be perhaps be better to have pills, but maybe also in a case of a let's say chola she'ein bo sakana, who would not be allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, but as far as Shabbos would be allowed to take medicine. But if medicine is food, then you're going to have a problem because you're not allowed to eat if you're a chola she'ein bo sakana. Actually, just as far as refuah and shav, it's a very interesting topic in and of itself. It also works in the other direction, that if something is considered a food item, so then you can have it. As far as kashrus too, it's Ramosha, as far as kashrus, as far as whether it is meant to cure a certain illness. So Ramosha permits vitamins to be taken on Shabbos because they're not really for, whether they do anything at all could perhaps be a question, but that they're not there to cure anything. They're there to make your immune system, whatever it is, stronger. Though he also, when it comes to kashrus, he's actually more stringent on vitamins, because essentially vitamins are a food supplement. So maybe they're considered more, so that will help us for Shabbos, but with kashrus and presumably also on Yom Kippur, that might hurt us. So we have a couple of different, work in a couple of different directions. The Rambam in source 12 perhaps does make the distinction between eating or consuming it for satiation as opposed to have something else. So in Hilchos Michaelis Asuros, so he says, Einu chayiv aleihem ad shiyochol osan derech hana. You're only, if you eat Michaelis Asuros, so you're not chayiv unless you eat it in a way that gives you some sort of benefit. So maybe hana's taste or satiation. And this is except for things that are us or even behana.
What's our working definition of hana? Is it more of benefit or enjoyment?
So, probably on a broader level, it's benefit. That benefit even that things that are asur bahana, so generally you're not allowed to use for any purpose.
So you see medicine defends in this category of ochel, right? She ochel otan derechana, even if there is no like good taste or whatever else you're looking for. Like if there's hana, if there's this benefit of healing, then it would seem that it would be asur.
Right, though it says achi yochal osan derech hana. So maybe in this case the hana here is a more defined category relating to food. Then generally we could say hana as it applies to other places could be for any purpose, but it looks like he's perhaps classifying this hana in the context of enjoyment from food, which perhaps you could say is satiation as opposed to something else. The Shagas Aryeh, however, seems to take a stringent approach even to things that are not b'derech achila, that they are fully subject to the prohibition of eating on Yom Kippur. So now, in the last couple of sources, it will take us fast forward a couple hundred years, and will take us more into the discussion of pills and then the application to medicine. So in source 14, the Ksav Sofer, so in talking about this idea of Achshave, so it says, V'chol zeh, sh'mikhaven lo'ochlo l'hanosu k'derech ha'ochlin davar l'tanug v'limos taivas ravonim. That this is all, this discussion is speaking about when one eats it for satiation in the way one wants to be satiated from food. Aval, k'she'ocha l'refua uvoka hara umar b'me'uta l'mayit chalav, if you're doing it to for healing purpose and to minimize one's sickness, ki aigavna eino mechashev davar zeh shelo k'derech hanasan l'achila shel tanuk v'rav. That it's not considered derech tainuk shel achila, and tainuk shel achila is like taste and satiation, el refua. So hana from refua, or having the benefit of refua, Ksav Sofer says, is in a different category as eating or doing it for satiation. So it sounds like even if you go like the Rush, who has this concept of achshave, he's saying achshave is only if you're eating it, if you personally like it for the purpose of food. But he says if you're doing it for something else, if you're doing it for refua, so even according to the Rush, it sounds like that's not achshave. So he says v'kevan d'lo achshave memela. Leke iser klal the chol atzmo lo as rabbanan ela mishum the achshave v'had lo achshave v'lo etiru davar becholet. So now we have our category of Chol She'ein Bo Sakana, who can't eat, but could, for purposes of Shabbos, could have medicine. And he says, we don't permit eating for Chol She'ein Bo Sakana. But here, there's not even Iser Derabanan. That as far as Achila, he says, relates to Yom Kippur, it's a nothing. Any type of achila, even for bad tasting things, is only if you're doing it to satiate yourself, which perhaps gives a more precise definition of achila. They say achila is essentially the act of relieving oneself from hunger.
The guy before that drank the brine or whatever that stuff was. Why was that for satiation?
So perhaps the Ksav Sofer would say that it depends.
Because he's saying that if it wasn't for satiation at all, so then there's no issue. But it seems
really that, according to the Ksav Sofer, so perhaps the way you would read it, that if someone was doing it for purely medicinal purposes, then maybe it wouldn't even be Pater of Alasar.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, the person who was drinking the brine, like, I guess, what's the reason behind that? Because he seems to be taking this a step further. So,
right. So perhaps in this case, someone's drinking. Right. So it's not something that's roi l'achila, but if someone's consuming it, so you're probably saying objectively it's not roi l'achila, but this person is. In this case, this person is using it for considering it some type of food consumption. So, however, the Ksav Sofer would say that if someone is not using it, if someone is drinking brine or wormwood or whatever it is purely for medicinal purposes, so perhaps it wouldn't even be Pater Avalasar. It would be nothing. It wouldn't even be an Iser Derabanan.
Right, so that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Similarly, the Shadda Zariah would say no, even if you're doing it for alternative reasons, it would be.
But if the Gemara was talking about a case that somebody was purely drinking it for medicinal reasons, so then it would seem that the Ksav Sofer is actually more lenient than the actual Gemara.
So I don't think that would be the case. It's you have to extrapolate what he's doing is defining the case. And the Gemara says Pater and Pater Avalasar. So, according to him, it would be that case is...
It means pater completely.
No, I think it would be pater avalasar, but that case would be someone's doing it for some sort of satiation.
Right.
But he'd probably say that if this was some purely medicinal purpose, so then that would not even be Iser Derabanan. And in source 15, it seems to have basis in Shulchan Aruch, in Yeridaya. So it says, Sheret Sarof, like a burnt insect, Motel La'achlo Mishum Rafua. You're allowed to Shratzin, Rabasin, they're all Aser. But it's Motel to eat a Mishum Rafua, the Afra Ba'almahu, that it's considered like dust, like nothing, not a food item. So the idea, just thinking about it with Pesach, is what do? We burn our chametz. So it seems pretty clear that's something that's no longer food that would not fall into this different prohibitions relating to food. The question, of course, at least according to the Rush, is what if someone personally eats it like food? But nothing from the Ksav Sofer, from the Shulchan Aruch, it says Mishum Ravua. But that could support the Ksav Sofer's case that if you're consuming something for only medicinal purposes, then it's a nothing, and there's no Iser at all. And notably, in source 17. The Torah says If you eat something that's not roi lachila, says, quotes his father, that there's not any iser. And who is the Torah's father?
Rush.
The Rush. So I think he always agrees with the Rush, but it's interesting that perhaps even according to the Rush, it wouldn't apply if it's something that you're not eating. He's an any roi lechila, but maybe you can even say according to the Rush, it would not apply to something that you're not consuming for satiation. However, if, even according to the Ksav Sofer, that this would only apply if it was something that's bitter tasting. Once you start adding something to make it better tasting, so then it would be. Then there would be an Isser. He says in 18, if something that's not fit for consumption, you add something that sweetens it or that gets rid of its bitterness. Right, that this is that this would be the same as eating anything that would be also to eat. And Tamlik, also if you were doing, remember we haven't seen that if someone has food that's fit for being food, but you're only doing it for medicinal purposes, so I don't think we would say that would fit into the Ksav Sofer's. It's only really two steps removed. You're doing it something that's not really considered food, and you're not even doing it subjectively because you enjoy it. But once it tastes better, so then you're gonna have a problem. In the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he quotes Shlomo Zalman. That, and it's interesting because he says, you don't chew it or eat it in the normal way. That no longer is considered food. So it's interesting because it sounds like he does at least combine the idea that you're not chewing it with other factors. So maybe combined with the fact that it's designed as medicine, that it's not fit for eating, maybe also the fact that you don't chew it, which in and of itself doesn't sound like that would remove it from the category of eating. But it sounds like combined with all these other factors, as it becomes even clear that it's not food, that it's something that's in a different category. So what about taking it with water?
But you're not drinking the water or anything that the water itself is giving you. Medicine. For example, like if you're drinking, you don't need to make a bracha on water when you're taking it as medicine. Unless you're thirsty, in which case the water is, I guess, satiating your thirst. So in this case, I mean, I guess that shows you that the water really acts as nothing other than to help the medicine go down.
Right. That it's functional as opposed to.
And you're not even I wouldn't say there's like a concern of good taste, and it's not something that like.
Well, I don't think it's bad. The nose and tongue of gum is really only when there's a negative taste, not a neutral taste.
No, but like the Ksav Sofer says, there has to be like davar l'tanum ulamalas taus ravonim. That's not why you're taking the water at all. Like it, water's fine, yeah. But it's probably not a Yom Kippur. According to what we're saying, I think it should be.
Right. It definitely would seem to be reason that, especially you. That's a good point that you made. That in general, if we take water with medicine, it's not to quench our thirst, so we don't make a bracha on it, and that seems to indicate that we don't consider it food. Ramosha says that part of the reason why I like it is because he doesn't use the modern Hebrew word for pills. He calls them pilim. You see, Ramosha has interesting transliterations for sometimes you have to figure out what he's talking about. Pilin. So he says that it's preferable to take without water. And he quotes reasons that when one is doing it in a it seems to be consistent with what we've seen, that if one is really that it one is doing it in a way that's really removed from the manner of eating, so that could be more of a reason to do it in that way. So certainly, if you use it without take it without water, so then it's really more removed from it from anything having to do with eating. However, it assumes that there's a chance that someone could it be medicine that would be hard to swallow without water, depending on the size of the pill and what it is. Like, and certainly, if there's a danger of choking or anything like that, so then that would be a different issue. But right? So all things being equal, if you can swallow it without water, so then says that instead it would be better to do so. So this is basically the theoretical discussion about medicine on Shabbos. And we've seen some of the factors that may indicate that it would be better than food, better as far as minimizing the isser. Whether or not, if one wasn't in a situation where they would otherwise be allowed to eat food, so seems like many of the postings that we've seen would indicate that there would be grounds to be lenient with that. You have the Shakis Aryeh who seems to indicate that if you're not allowed to eat, so medicine would not be better. Also, if someone is in the category where they would be allowed to eat, if we say that medicine is removed from food in some ways, so it sounds like all things being equal, if the medicine would accomplish the same thing as food, then that's because we have this concept of dechuya, so it would seem that pills or something that's bad tasting would be preferable. So of course, in general, these things are subject to really personal situations, personal health issues, and if these things come up, so one should consult a rav and a health professional and figure out the safest and most halakhically sound course of action. Anyone have any questions, comments?
Any of those three parties told you to eat, meaning if you're so sick and you say I need to eat, or your rav tells you you should eat, or your doctor tells you you should eat, you go and eat.
Right. It seems like if anyone, either you who doesn't have expertise, or anyone with some expertise says that you should eat, so then you would be allowed to, and perhaps even required to eat.
Like, if you have psak from a rav that you should not eat.
But it would seem that it would only be the correct psak if you insisted that you didn't need it, and the doctor insisted you wouldn't need it.
Okay.
Again, when it would be allowed to eat something, so we try to minimize it. Though Shulchan Aruch says that if it's not working for someone, if someone doesn't feel better when they're having a little bit, so they can eat to the extent that they feel safe. It doesn't have to be literally a life and death situation, but perhaps even something that could develop to something more dangerous if it's not treated. Also interesting relation to being mechal Shabbos for pikuach nefesh. Sometimes there are situations where, in and of itself, something isn't considered. Let's say someone would be considered cholish sheish b'sakana in and of itself, but in NYU, we had a presentation from a person who's amazing, who's like a doctor, a rabbi, Talmud Chacham. They had expertise in both worlds, and he pointed out that a lot of times things that end up that we don't think of as being dangerous in and of itself could really be considered something that's more dangerous. For example, somebody's a fractured bone or something. Okay, maybe it's a broken bone. For you have a concept for sakanas aver, you can do their abundance, but it could, through an infection, it could develop into something much worse. A lot of times a fever is not, the temperature isn't necessarily indicative of what it is, but a fever, you get a fever because you have something else wrong. So if you have a fever at all, it could be something to be checked out. But again, it's also something that you see in application. It's important to have someone who is well versed in the medicine and in the halacha. Okay. And we should have a Baruch HaSima Tova, a meaningful Yom Kippur, a safe Yom Kippur, and look forward to learning more together.